Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spot Actor Podcast. Today I'm doing something a little different. I've received so many questions about skin health, skin care, aging, and beauty tips, so I decided to designate an entire podcast today answering your questions. I will get through as many as I can today and answer more in upcoming podcasts. At the end of the podcast, if you haven't had your questions answered, I'll explain how you can get additional questions answered. So let's go ahead and get started. First question is from Sue. Dr. Cates, my question for you. I'm almost 60 years old, have very visible and clogged pores, especially in the T-zone area. In the last couple of years, these areas have started peeling and flaking. I've purchased a Clarisonic, a facial steamer, and was getting regular facial peels. I've had expensive skincare products in the past and salicylic lotion occasionally. My skin drives me crazy. How can you help me? So I know there are so many different options out there, and it can be overwhelming, confusing, and you may have tried a lot of different things to help improve the quality of your skin, to help you have clear skin, to clear up acne, and help with this pore size and those visible changes in your skin. And really with my approach to skincare, it's really an internal and an external approach. So it's important to look at what you're eating as well as what you're putting on your skin. So that's a lot about what I'm going to be talking about today, and that's the same here. So until you make changes, certain changes with your diet, that you're probably going to still have trouble with your skin. But there certainly is a lot you can do topically on your skin too. One of the misconceptions about acne or pore, enlarged pore size or oily skin is that we have to do things, is a misconception, we have to do things to strip the skin. And so a lot of people will use these products and procedures that dry out the skin. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why you've had peeling and flaking and you haven't gotten the results that you need. So it's about creating balance in the skin. Balance of the oils aren't bad. They're actually good. We need the right balance of oils. It's the problem is when we get the combination of that sebum production and the oxidized oils, and we get blocks in those pores that cause breakouts. So what we want to do is keep the skin clean without harsh, you know, chemicals, drying it out, abrasive treatments. So instead, think about how you can adjust the pH of your skin, improve the pH of your skin, balance the oils in your skin, and enhance the skin microbiome on your skin. So the first step to doing that is to use products that have a mildly acidic pH balance. So that means products that have a pH of about 4 to 4.5 in that range is going to help the skin pH. It's going to help your skin microbiome, which are the microorganisms that live on your skin and protect your skin, keep it from breaking out. And also it can help just keep your skin clear, keep it aging gracefully too, if that's a goal that you have. And so also there are certain things, antioxidants, that can be very helpful at reducing any kind of oxidation that's occurring in your pores and causing them to be visible and clogged. So those are some things to think about. pH balance of your skin, making sure you're not stripping your skin. And I'm okay with skin brushes like Clarisonic, as long as you're using good products with them and you're not doing them too frequently. But be careful with anything that's abrasive on the skin because it can really strip your skin. I'm okay with salicylic acid, a small percentage at times, but you also want to address what's going on and the underlying causes of that. So why are you having these clogged pores? Or there's something that you're eating in your diet, or you're getting too much sugar, or are you getting too much dairy products or other inflammatory foods that are leading to these triggers. So we'll talk more about these in some of the upcoming questions, but I want to go ahead and move along to the next question. Hi, Dr. Cates. I'm so excited you're taking questions. My dermatologist won't even consider any natural options, so it's nice to have a place to ask these questions. Oh, you're so welcome. And this is from Avila is who this question is from. I would like to know how to get rid of keratosis pilaris. I have reduced the bumpiness on my arms, but the redness is really bad. I think it was reduced by taking vitamin A. I would also like to know if there are any non-chemical, non-laser way to reverse or reduce sun-damaged skin on my chest. I have a lot of redness and discoloration. And one more. How can I improve the appearance of my neck? I'm 45 and going through perimenopause right now. Okay. All right. So, her first name is Brandy. So, Brandy, keratosis pilaris is a common harmless skin condition. It causes these dry, rough patches and tiny little bumps, usually on the upper arms, thighs, cheeks, or buttocks. And so a lot of people have them on the backs of their upper arms, these little bumps. So they're very common. They're not harmful, but they are annoying. So, and it actually can be a sign of something that's wrong. A lot of times it's a sign of essential fatty acid deficiency or a need for extra vitamin A or even the mineral zinc. So think about those three things. How can you get more essential fatty acids in your diet? Good fats, vitamin A, as well as zinc. One good source of vitamin A, for example, is cod liver oil. Maybe not your favorite, but there are other, you know, a lot of oily foods like avocados or other foods like that can be high in vitamin, naturally contain vitamin A. So that can be helpful, as well as possibly looking at taking a supplement. Even a multivitamin supplement can have some vitamin A and zinc in it. Look for a really high quality one. And so you want to get a mixed kind, similar to what you'd find in nature as far as vitamin A goes. And for example, in my supplement, my skin, hair, and nail supplement, and the Spa Doctor Skin, Hair, and Nail Supplements, I have these, a lot of these, the zinc and the vitamin A and a lot of nutrients that are important for our skin and that can help with skin conditions like this. And then also an omega-3 supplement or a GLA supplement can be helpful. As far as the sun damage goes, it's a great question. So one of the things that can really help is the topical use of antioxidant products, things like creams and serums and things that have antioxidants in them. For example, green tea, black tea, white tea, also resveratrol is a potent antioxidant. Turmeric, chlorella, which has, it's a green algae you may have heard of. And also certain oils that are very rich in antioxidant. My favorites are cranberry seed oil and raspberry seed oil. So those have lots of antioxidants. And what that does is it helps reverse oxidative damage or protect the skin from oxidative damage that's happening on the skin. And it can, and these ingredients can also, in your skincare products, can also help reduce redness, protect from that sun damage changes that can occur. So, and I do want to mention that it's good to have your dermatologist look at these areas. If you've got sun damage area skin, it's a good idea to have your dermatologist take a look. Make sure that there's nothing to be concerned about. So that's another tip on that. And certainly also taking antioxidants internally can help protect your skin from the inside out. And one of my favorites for that is astaxanthin. It's A-S-T-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. I think that's how you spell it, right? So, and then your last question, Brandy, was about what can we do about the neck area? So I know I have a lot of people ask me about that because there's a lot of focus on the face, but we also want, you know, our necks to look good too. And so there are lots of things that can help nourish the skin on the neck. Some of those oils that I mentioned can be great on the neck also. Those antioxidant-rich ingredients can also help protect the skin from damage, from changes. And then using a really good sunblock on your face as well as your neck can help protect against sun damage and also the changes in your skin. And a lot of times people forget the neck area. But one ingredient I want to mention that can be really great for the skin, for the neck area, really for the face too, but it is hyaluronic acid. And this is a natural ingredient that is a hydrating agent and space filler. It supports collagen and elastin by keeping your skin nourished and moist. So it reduces the signs of fine lines and wrinkles, those eight signs of aging. It helps keep our skin soft, smooth, supple. Just want to make sure it comes from a really clean source. So that's another another tip on that. Okay, so moving on to the next question. This is from Kathy. She says, great podcast and information. Thank you. I got something in my email called Botox in a bottle. It looks great for bags under the eyes. What are your thoughts on this kind of product? Thanks. All right, so Kathy, Botox is a neurotoxin that how it works is when it's used in treatment, so Botox treatments is injected into different areas that causes the muscles to freeze when it's injected. So it's a neurotoxin that actually is very toxic, but the idea is that it's just injected locally, so it's not supposed to become a neurotoxin for us, but it does have that freezing effect of the muscles. So that's how it works. And really, there is no cream that does exactly that. There's no cream that you can put on your face and nothing topical that's going to freeze your muscles. and there's good and maybe not so good. I mean, you know, I know how people want that kind of effect without having to have the procedure, but it is, you know, it's kind of an unhealthy substance. It's actually a very unhealthy substance. So I'm not convinced it's the safest thing long-term, although the studies that we have right now show that there are no long-term downsides to it. We do know that sometimes with Botox that it's really based upon the practitioner as far as how good it is. Some people end up with crooked smiles or faces after having it done. It does take some time for it to kick in and to even out. So in the meantime, you could be using a lot of natural ingredients that can actually nourish your skin and have some great protective benefits without being the concern and the cost of this kind of procedure. So there are things that can really help tighten your skin, help plump up the skin. And so you can use there's one ingredient that we use in my skincare, one of my skincare products. It's called Pullulan, Pullulan. And what it does is it's a natural ingredient that has an immediate skin tightening effect. And so it tightens and lifts immediately. Now, a lot of the natural ingredients out there, they're not going to have, or even synthetic ingredients, they don't necessarily have that kind of instant effect like that. But this is one of those ingredients that does have that instant effect. I would consider looking at a lot of the other ingredients that have these long-term benefits. Some of the oils that I mentioned, like the cranberry seed extract and the raspberry seed extract, as well as resveratrol and some of the teas, these have a very nourishing and protecting effect. So over time, this is how you're going to see results. Even as little as a month, people do see benefits on using some of these products with ingredients like this. Also, I want to mention in your question, you mentioned that you were talking about bags under your eyes, and actually, Botox won't help with that. So even a Botox in a bottle, I can't imagine how it would get rid of that puffiness. What I would look at is, why do you have that puffiness? I want to find out. As a naturopathic physician, that's something I'm always asking. What is the root cause? What is the underlying cause? Let's address that. Are you dehydrated? Are you getting enough water? Are you getting enough electrolytes? Are you dehydrating yourself? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you getting adequate sleep? How are you sleeping? You're sleeping on your face? Because that can also cause puffiness. Do you have allergies? And those could be environmental, or they could be food related, especially if you go to bed and you don't have that puffiness and you wake up with that puffiness. I'm thinking it's probably either sleep or something in your bedroom that you're reacting to that's causing allergies. Maybe it's your pet, maybe it's dust or mold or something along those lines. So that's what I would look into. It could also be a food that you've been eating that causes this. If you've eaten really salty foods the night before and it dehydrates you, or you're eating a food that you're allergic or sensitive to, it can cause that puffiness under the eyes. So I would look to those things instead of a Botox in the bottle. That kind of makes me a little bit nervous, and it's a little bit of false advertising, because there's really nothing that's going to be in a bottle that works the same. And that's kind of a good thing too. Also, I do want to mention that my step 2 product, the antioxidant serum, we're realizing it's fantastic for that puffiness under the eyes, it helping reduce that. So just another little tip on that, that can be great to use in the eye area. People ask me all the time, why, Dr. Cates, why don't you have an eye serum? And we actually don't need an eye serum because our step two antioxidant serum works beautifully in the eye area, as well as step four, our Glow Boost, the oil blend, can also be used. Really all the products can be used in the eye area, but those are our, you know, really good ones for that eye area. Also, if you have that puffiness, another quick little tip is take a green tea or black tea bag, steep it just lightly enough to start releasing the benefits from those tea leaves. Put it in your refrigerator, take those two bags, put them in your refrigerator, let them cool, and then take those out while they're still damp and put them on your closed eyelids. It helps tighten up that area and get rid of the puffiness. So hopefully that helps. All right, moving on to question from Erica. Hello, I am a dermatopathologist, and I am impressed with your knowledge, positive attitude, and entrepreneurship. Thank you very much, Erica. I'm interested in purchasing your new book when it's available. Okay, well, you gotta wait until 2017, but it is coming. In the meantime, I would like to know your thoughts on the effects of SPF in skin products, other than what it's supposed to do. And so I'm asking because I really want to use SPF products, but I noticed that some companies stopped manufacturing SPF products for many years and then started selling them again. I think maybe they were losing money. So I'm looking forward to your response. And so I want to go through some of the ingredients in the SPF products because I do talk about the importance of protecting your skin. And we want to protect our skin from sun damage because of the aging effects and the concerns about skin cancer from sun exposure. Of course, some sun exposure is great for us. It gives us, helps our vitamin D levels and it makes us feel good when we get outside and get in the sun. But we want to be careful about those damaging effects. I think it's great to wear a hat. Be careful about going out in the middle of the day during the peak hours. And if you can avoid those times, that's probably best. But if you're out in the sun, still use a sunblock. So first I want to talk about the chemical sunscreens. And I want to go through the most common ones that you'll see on your labels. So when you see those, you know which ones are bad, which ones are okay, and which ones might be a better alternative. Okay, so the first one that I want to talk about is oxybenzone. This is the one I want you to avoid at all costs. This is the one that's the biggest concern of the chemical sunscreens as far as the research that I've done. Oxybenzone is a hormone-disrupting chemical, and it also absorbs very easily. In fact, 97% of Americans tested had this in their bodies, according to research by the CDC. So this is definitely one to avoid. Hormone-disrupting effects, hormone-disrupting chemicals can lead to a number of problems in the body. And think about all the different ways that our hormones impact our health. It's not just our sex hormones. We're talking thyroid, adrenal, also can affect our neurochemistry, our brain function. So there are a lot of reasons why we want to avoid hormone disrupting chemicals. In addition, there are concerns with certain types of cancers. So, okay, now I'm going to move on to the next ingredient. Another one people ask about a lot is avobenzone. Okay, this one is actually a bit safer, and you'll see this in some of the more natural sunscreens. This one is a safer option. The problem is it doesn't tend to last as long. So you need to keep applying this. The next one is octisalate. And you have to forgive me if I'm saying these wrong. the pronunciation, I'm doing my best here. Octisalate. And so this one is generally pretty good. It's not terrible. It's not as bad as oxybenzone for sure. And then it's oftentimes added to sunscreens to help the avobenzone last longer. So you oftentimes see the octisalate in combination with the avobenzone together. So that's actually not such a bad combination if you're going with the chemical sunscreen route. All right, the next one is octicrylene. And this one seems to be okay as well, not as harmful, but some people do react to it. So if you're one of those people who has really sensitive skin, this is one you might want to be careful with. You could do a little patch test. I often recommend this with skincare products. Do a little patch test on the inside of your wrist. Just put a little product there. Let it sit for 24 hours. You can cover it with a Band-Aid and then watch to see if you have any redness, itching, reaction to it. That's something to watch out for. There's also homosalate, which we know is the research shows that it is a weak hormone disrupting chemical. It's not as potent as some of as oxybenzone and other hormone disrupting chemicals, but there are some concerns about that one. The next one is octinoxate. I think that's how you say it. I'm just going to go with that. So this one does also have hormone mimicking effects that on laboratory animals, not in human studies. It hasn't been tested as much, but you know, why are we putting in sunscreen if this hasn't been tested thoroughly? That's my concern. But we do know the chemical is found in humans, including mother's milk samples. Not one of my favorites, a little bit of a concern for me. So I'm going to tell you my favorite as far as an alternative to chemical sunscreens, and that's zinc oxide. Zinc oxide is a mineral-based sunblock. And so that's what I prefer people to use in their sunblocks to protect. It works more as a barrier rather than a chemical reaction in our skin. So it has that kind of protective barrier, and it just seems to, it works really well. And it we don't have as the concerns about the hormone disrupting effects like we do with some of the others. So I hope that helps. And I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next question. All right, this one is from Marnie. Dr. Cates, I have a particular concern with skin tags, seborrheic keratosis, and flat warts. What causes these to come? And is there any nutritional or topical things that I can do to help them? Thanks for always being so informative and positive. I've always loved your blog and podcast. Well, thanks, Marnie. I appreciate that. Skin tags. So, you know what's interesting about skin tags is sometimes, so these are the little pieces of skin that pop up and they stick out and they look like little tags. And that's why they're called skin tags. So these sometimes these kind of just randomly show up. And, I know that what seems to be a link here sometimes is having to do with your blood sugar issues. We know that people with blood sugar issues, such as people with diabetes, tend to have more skin tags. Also, sometimes women during pregnancy, when they have issues with their blood sugar, tend to have more of these skin tags pop up. So if you just have a few here and there, maybe it's not that big of a deal. But if you have a lot of skin tags and they keep popping up, you might want to have your blood sugar tested. And even if your blood sugar is considered in the normal range, I like to look for when you have your fasting blood glucose tested, look for a number in the 80-85 range. That's more optimal where you want to be. Although the normal range is below 100, I prefer people to be 80-85, somewhere in there as the upper end. So it's definitely something to think about. You could maybe talk to your healthcare provider. If it's time for your checkup, you can have your blood work tested and just make sure that it's in that optimal range. And also be careful about eating excessive amounts of sugar and eating balanced meals, those kinds of things. All right, moving on to seborrheic keratosis. This is a type of skin growth. It's benign. It often looks kind of scary, though, because sometimes it looks like melanoma, which is a very serious type of skin cancer. But it is benign. It's not cancerous. It is good to have a dermatologist take a look to differentiate if you have these kinds of skin lesions. And it kind of looks like a flat mole, but it suddenly appears. It's not something you've had for a long time, but it will suddenly appear, or it gradually grows. These are things we tend to see as we get older. They're not as common in young people, but have your dermatologist take a look at it. Make sure it's not skin cancer, because there is obviously different treatment for this. If it's cancer versus seborrheic keratosis, they can be removed. Your dermatologist can remove this for you. But the problem is some people have a lot of these and they keep popping up. And so if that's the case, you want to be proactive. Some sun exposure seems to be a trigger for that. Aging is can be a contributing factor too, but we can't stop the clock, but we can protect our skin. So something to be aware of, you can protect your skin with a good sunblock like we talked about. And also topical antioxidants as well as internal antioxidants can be really helpful. There might be some concerns of oxidative damage going on, so antioxidants can seem to be help protective against that. So some of the same things that I mentioned before, like some of the teas, green tea, black tea, white tea, resveratrol, some of those wonderful oils, they can help protect the skin from some of those damages. Also, what I find that when people are in a really optimal state of health, they tend to have less of these. They pop up less. So look at other things that you can do with your lifestyle, with your diet, having a more balanced diet and things that might help as well. As far as flat warts go, there are a lot of different types of warts, and there are some little tricks that I can tell you about. Really, warts are can be in part due to the immune system and how your immune system is. So if you get a lot of warts and they keep popping up, keep reoccurring, maybe you're having them frozen off, but they keep showing back up, you might want to take a look at what's going on with your immune system. See if you need some support there, and make sure that you're doing things to help. You can also do some little things like applying tea tree oil directly to warts. What you can do is, this is one of the few times that I say to apply essential oils directly to the skin. You can actually do this with warts. If you're concerned about it, or if it's you're working with a kid or somebody young, you might want to dilute the tea tree oil. But tea tree oil is really great directly. You could just put it a little on a Q-tip. You don't need a lot of it. A little bit goes a long way. You can dilute it in something like almond oil, avocado oil, really olive oil, any of those kinds of things. But you can just use it directly and just apply it directly to the wart, cover it with a Band-Aid, and give it some time. So you can do that before you go to bed at night and do it over. It can take a few days to start noticing a difference. You should start noticing a difference in it. Also, there's certain enzymes that can help kind of break down and wear away at warts, like pineapple and papaya enzymes. So those can be helpful when applied topically to the wart. I've also seen people put tape over a wart, especially plantar warts. This is one. People will put like duct tape over it and leave it overnight, and that can start wearing down the wart as well. So hopefully that gives you some tips on these common skin conditions that I see quite often. So that's all the time I have for answering questions today. If you have questions that I did not answer, or you want clarification on anything that I talked about today, please post in the comment section below this video on YouTube or on thespadoctor.com. I'll do my best to answer all your questions in upcoming podcasts. Also, I want to invite you to join the Spa Doctor community on my website so you don't miss any of our upcoming podcasts. And if you haven't done so already, you can get your own customized information, your own skin profile, at theskinquiz.com. It's free and based upon answers to just a few questions. You'll get great tips for glowing skin and vibrant health just specific to you based upon your answers. Go to theskinquiz.com for that. So theskinquiz.com, and get your own customized skin report. And another way to ask me questions is on social media. You can join me on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter, and join the conversation. I hope you guys enjoyed today. Really can't wait to hear for your feedback. Thank you, and I'll see you next time.